Hey, welcome to the Sermon MP3 from Lawson Heights Alliance Church. This is March 28, 2021, and we start our Easter celebration with Palm Sunday today. Get your branches ready to start waving, everybody. And this Sunday, we're going to start our message with welcoming Jesus into your Easter. Hey, may God bless you as you listen.
Oh Lord, we ask you by your Spirit to settle our hearts. We're kind of in parade mode. I'm wearing my palm shirt. I got a palm tree on it. It's the only one I could find in my closet. But Lord, I came today just anticipating that you're going to meet us in a very special way on that road into Jerusalem. I came anticipating and expecting that, Lord Jesus, you would be trumpeted today with great praise and adoration. Our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords, that we would truly understand what Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David means. And Lord, as we've been lauding you with these songs and with prayers so far, and we've come into this house, we all come with a sense of expectation, and all of us have different ones for sure. Some of us have had a really hard week. Some of us have had a week of loss. Some of us a painful loss. For some of us, it's been a great week, a cloud nine kind of a week. And Lord, we're in this place today because we're just celebrating all that you're doing. But Lord, some of us just need to hear from you. Some of us just need an embrace from you. But Lord, help us to understand that that embrace comes today as we enter into praise and joy. A joy that can only come from a knowledge and a knowing of Jesus personally as our King. And so be with us, Lord, as we get into your word, and help us not to just understand it theologically, but to feel it. To feel the raw emotions that were there on that day as Jesus was saddled on that donkey and entering into that holy city. Help us to feel the anticipation and the excitement of that day. And may it transform our Easter 2021 as we begin the parade today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we have entered into Holy Week, or as the church also calls it, it's Passion Week in the church calendar. Christians all over the world, 2.5 billion of us are celebrating this week and into next Sunday already with a special series of holy days called Easter. And it is a great time in God's calendar for us as the church to proclaim his praise. But it's a bit of a weird celebration when you think about it. I mean, it starts with a parade and fanfare, and then it peaks with an arrest and a brutal death of Messiah, and then it ends with the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And as we enter into the celebration today, and as we follow Jesus and his disciples into this great city of Jerusalem, this visit is a significant event in the Gospels because each one of them, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all record this parade. And every detail of this week was prophesied 750 years earlier. Just listen to Jesus' own words a chapter earlier in Luke chapter 18 in verse 31 to 34 when it says, Jesus took the 12 aside and he told them, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be delivered over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, and spit on him. They will flog him and kill him, and on the third day he will rise again. So this journey that Jesus is on, first to Jerusalem, then to the cross, then to the grave, didn't begin in Jerusalem. It didn't begin in Galilee where Jesus spent the last 3.5 years ministering. It didn't even begin at Bethlehem on Christmas when we celebrate the birth of Jesus. Jesus is following a prophetic echo that the ancients, even Isaiah and David, were singing. Even from long before that, the promise in Eden was that Mary's seed would stomp on the devil's head. In order to understand what this is all about, what's taking place here in our passage today, I think it would be important for us to get a few background details in place first. First of all, it's Passover time in Jerusalem. Just so happens we're in Passover time right now, too. And I remember the last time we were, I remember us celebrating Passover in the gym, all the tables set up, and it's an experiential meal, and we got to celebrate that great meal, and unfortunately we didn't get to do that this year. But it's a meal, it's a Passover celebration in Jerusalem, and thousands of Jewish pilgrims were flooded into Jerusalem at this time, and they were fueled with sort of the fires of spiritual and messianic expectation. This was a God-ordained annual celebration within Israel, the covenant people of God, so that they would never forget that it was by the blood of the Lamb that prompted their exodus out of Egypt and their deliverance from their enemies. I've been in the old city of Jerusalem at Passover. It's quite a fascinating time, but it is packed even still today with Jews from all over the world coming onto Jerusalem to be a part of that celebration. Well, in Jesus' day here, the Sadducees, the temple-based priestly class of religious leaders in Israel, had a tradition where they believed that Messiah would show up 4 days before Passover. So again, that's still kind of fueling the expectations and the excitement a little bit more. And everyone took this seriously, and they kept the gates of the temple open just in case Messiah came this Passover. They kept the gates of the temple open so that he could enter, take up his throne over the nations, defeating his enemies, i.e. Rome. And because of this, the Romans were on high alert during Passover time. More guards were there than ever before. And especially this Passover, I mean, this was a huge deal with the recent rumors and stories of that were being told of this miracle-working Jesus, that he was making his way into Jerusalem this Passover. Many believed that he could be the Messiah, especially after Jesus had just raised Lazarus from the dead. According to John 11:45, seeing this, it says, many Jews became believers. And with that growing popularity among the Jews, the Sadducees and even the Pharisees became nervous about Jesus showing up in Jerusalem at Passover, and so they conspired to kill him. So that's all the background. There's way more than that, but this gives us a bit of a taste of what was going on within the holy city. But what about today? What about today as we enter Passion Week, Holy Week? What is it for you this year? We still have the remnants of COVID hanging over us, and so, you know, that might be kind of foreshadowing your Easter celebrations. Every family has been impacted by it, for sure. Every workplace is constantly juggling the monthly, sometimes weekly, updated rules and health orders just to keep things open. We have groups believing that we should be in stricter lockdowns. We have groups believing that we should have no lockdowns. We have groups believing that all these lockdowns are a violation of the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms. And so as we enter into Easter, we're not really thinking Jesus yet, because it just doesn't seem, we just don't seem ready for it yet. And so why don't we put our present situation out of our minds for this morning and maybe even for this next week? And let's be the church in Holy Week, in Passion Week. And let's be a people who trumpet the salvation of our Jesus. And let's get our attention on Jesus and not on what's going on around us in the world. Let's be a people who trumpet our Jesus and discover from this triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem how to welcome him into the celebration of 2021. And so to do that, there's three things that I want us to kind of get into our heads and our hearts in order to properly prepare for Easter. The first point is this: prepare for Easter by welcoming Jesus with your obedience. Prepare for Easter by welcoming Jesus with your obedience. Luke chapter 19, verse 28 to 37 reads this: after Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And as he approached Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you. And as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.' And those who were sent ahead went and found it just as they had been told it. I want you to notice verse 28 here. In verse 28, it says, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. Take a look at that for a little minute in the Word. He went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. It's almost as if he couldn't wait to get there. I mean, the disciples were reluctantly dragging their feet all the way to Jerusalem because they knew. I mean, remember the chapter before? They knew what was awaiting Jesus. Jesus was already a wanted man in Jerusalem, not just by the Gentiles or the Romans, but by his own Jews, the Jewish leaders. They knew the messianic prophecies and the kind of death he would die, and so they were not really all that eager to get there in some ways. So even if not intentionally, they still resisted Jerusalem. But Jesus was determined to get things underway. Why? Well, we're told in God's word that he was determined to be obedient to the Father. Along the way, as he ministered with him in John chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus is talking to his disciples. If you remember the scenario, it's at the time where Jesus had been talking with the Samaritan woman at the well. And they come to him and they're trying to get things going here, the disciples, and saying, Lord, you need to eat, you need to get some nourishment, you need to re-energize here. And he says, no, listen. He says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. So you can hear the determination in his voice to finish well. In John chapter 6, verse 38, he's speaking to the crowds and he says to them, for I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. Obedience to the Father, especially in completing a specific work, was the passion of our Jesus. And that's why the church calls this week Passion Week. This was his passion. This is what Jesus lived for. It is what he would die for. Obedience to the Father was Jesus' first priority ever. And that's why if we want Easter to be a celebration, the celebration that it's supposed to be, we must prepare for Easter by welcoming him with our obedience. Luke chapter 19, verse 29 tells us that Jesus and his disciples arrived at Bethphage and also Bethany, which was just 2 miles east of Jerusalem. And according to John chapter 12, verse 1, this was 6 days before Passover, which means that he arrives in Jerusalem on a Saturday, which was a Sabbath. And so the next day, Jesus began his final walk into the holy city. While on the Mount of Olives, Jesus tells two of his disciples, he gives them a special assignment, and he says, go. And he says in verse 30, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it, say, the Lord needs it. Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owner asked them, why are you untying the colt? In other words, why are you untying my colt? And they replied, the Lord needs it. Matthew's gospel account tells us that the colt's mother was also there and that the disciples asked for both of them. How did Jesus know that these animals would be there? Well, he had been there before, right? So this was where Mary, Martha, Lazarus, this is the area from which they're a part of. And this all could have been prearranged. We don't know. Or maybe because Jesus was well known there, maybe especially because of Lazarus being brought back from the dead, that there were also many followers of there. Of course, there was. It tells us that. And so the disciples say, the Lord needs it, to the donkey owner. Well, that might not actually be that unusual a request. Well, the Lord needs it? Absolutely, take it. Take them. Nevertheless, the disciples obeyed when Jesus said, go. And the owner obeyed when he gave up the animals when the Lord said, let go. Go and let go. Two primary commands that we hear often in our faith from our Jesus when he whispers to us in our quiet times, in our daily walk with him. Go and let go. Now, there was also a custom in the Roman world at that time called Angaria, where a representative of Rome could actually claim the use of a person, his property, or his animals to carry or cart dignitaries, soldiers, and Roman property from one location to another. They could just literally walk along the side of the road and see a citizen and say, Rome needs it, and they'd have to give it up. Whatever the situation, the donkey owner was obedient to the phrase, the Lord needs it, and he gave it up. And the obedience of these disciples and the donkey owner fulfilled 500 years of prophecy out of Zechariah chapter 9. It says in verse 9, rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So friends, when Jesus says go or let go, are you quick to obey? Are you quick to release those things or to venture forward? Like these players in this plan of redemption. I don't know if you've thought about it before, but your obedience, my obedience, is often the key to releasing the fulfillment of something God is planning. Maybe in our lives, maybe in someone else's life. Think about it. Think about the times where you've heard God say go or let go. Go there, go here, or let go of this, or let go of that. Your obedience may be releasing the fulfillment of something that God is planning next. It may only be a small part of God's plan, but it's still part of God's plan, and it will be a grand part of God's plan. It may only be small, but the Lord, when he's in it, it makes for a big deal. Many Christians wonder why they stop growing in their faith, and I think this is why. Because they've stopped obeying. They've stopped obeying that go or let go of the Master. The Lord needs it should be our only reason for going or letting go. But essentially, what we're saying when we refuse to obey in this way, and this is what squelches our growth as Christians. We're saying, God, this is as far as I'm prepared to go or let go and no further. What do you think that says to God? Well, God says, well, all right, your choice, but in disobeying, you forfeit any part of the miracle that I'm going to do next. Wouldn't it be better just to be in on the miracle? Wouldn't it be better to be in on God's plan of what is happening all around you? By obeying? Of course it is. And God says in John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus reminds us, he says to us very clearly that those who love him will obey his commands, right? Obedience is never an easy thing for sure. We all know that. It's not an easy thing to learn, but because it requires sort of that we break loose from the shackles of self-serving, consumer-driven culture that we live in every day. To live by the demands of another master, namely the Lord Jesus. Haven't you been doing something in the day and you hear this still small voice saying, go there or let go of this? Or maybe the Lord needs it? I hope that you're still hearing those words from time to time in your life. Because it proves that you haven't tuned out the Lord's voice. It shows your willingness to obey, even at a moment's notice, in order to do your part in his plan. When you stop hearing that in a day, it shows that you're probably more attentive to another Lord's voice. Another Lord's voice is more important to you. Does Jesus have your obedience? Does he have your go and your let go? It's a good question to ask ourselves daily, because we don't want to impede our growth with Christ. Is he the Lord of you? That's a big question. Does he have lordship over every part of our lives? Does he have lordship over your house? Does he have lordship over your hobbies, over your bank account, over your tithe, over your free evenings, over your Sundays, over your job? Does he have lordship over every aspect of your life network? See, the more Jesus owns of you in those things, the more fulfilled you will be in your journey with Jesus. Not only that, but once you've learned to obey in those things, that's when the really challenging things actually become easier for us. So let's prepare for Easter by welcoming Jesus with our obedience. Number two, prepare for Easter by instigating the celebration with your joy. Prepare for Easter by instigating the celebration with your joy. Verse 35. They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road, and when he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. You should underline for all the miracles they had seen. Before they got to Jerusalem, before anyone else in the city joined the parade, the disciples of Jesus, about 120 or so, lifted Jesus up on a donkey, and they began to celebrate. They began a parade. And it says that the people along the road leading out of Bethany, the place where Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, spread their cloaks along the road, and they instigated a joy-filled parade. They instigated it. Look at verse 37. The whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. They had seen the sick healed, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the blind could see again, lepers were cleansed, the paralyzed stood up, the mute could talk, and the possessed were set free. Even the dead were raised. Their faith in Jesus was not just a bunch of theological beliefs or creeds. Their knowledge of Jesus was experiential and it was miraculous. And they saw all of that with their own eyes, friends. And that expectation, that experience with Jesus sparked joy in their praise in this moment. And not just a pew praise. You know what a pew praise is, right? The pew praise of some is, look around, praise you, Jesus, in a whisper. Maybe this might be pretty exciting for some. Praise you, Jesus. Can you imagine that at a parade? You have a whole line of people going, Hosanna to the Son of David. Praise Jesus. No, that's not what their praise was like. It says that they were loud about it. Hey, everybody. Everybody, listen. Jesus is coming into town. This is the one who healed the sick. He made the lame walk. The blind can see. He even raised the dead. In fact, look, over here is Lazarus. Lazarus was raised from the dead. Ask anybody from the area. We've all heard the news. And Jesus, this Jesus, is coming into the holy city for Passover. That's how excited they got. They didn't hold anything back. It was, woohoo, praise the Lord. Not this. I don't know how anyone can come to church all frowny and serious and just lift up a praise pew praise. This is the happiest place on earth. It should be among God's people. This should be the place where all we do is celebrate what God has been doing in the past week as we've been seeing him do the miraculous in and through us and through our life network. This is the place where the miracles of Jesus should be boasted about most and celebrated with praise that cannot be restrained or held back. Of course, if we're not seeing the miraculous with our own eyes, if we're not seeing Jesus in that light during the week, of course, the question should be, why not? Why aren't we seeing that? Aren't we following Jesus? Last Monday, I was at Tim Hortons. We got there. I was getting my wife and myself a coffee and a breakfast sandwich. And I come up to the till, and there's a girl there taking my order. And I had this impression that there was something wrong with her shoulder, that she had some pain in her shoulder. And so I asked her, I said, do you have any pain in your shoulder? She goes, well, yeah, I do. It's in here, and it just rotates or radiates all the way down my back. And I say, can I pray for you right now? I mean, like, right now? And she goes, sure. And so I prayed for her in Jesus' name, and I asked the Lord to relieve her of that pain completely. And when I said amen, she kind of put her arm up on her shoulder, and she did this and went, huh, thank you. I guess I should probably get back to work now. And so back to work she goes. And I said, praise the Lord, go back to work. What a, have a great day. See, I've begun to ask the Holy Spirit when I get up in the mornings to reveal things like that to me when I come into contact with other people. When I'm out and about in my daily life, out in the streets or at coffee shops or wherever, that I want to represent him as best as I possibly can. I want to be in such a following and a walk with Jesus that these kinds of miraculous things happen all around me. The disciples saw it all the time. Why can't we? And so I've begun to pray that the Lord would reveal things like that to me. And sometimes I get it, sometimes I don't, but I pray that, and the Lord has been good that way. Those kind of insights come. And you know what? We can all instigate those kinds of miracles all around us every single day as we follow Jesus, just in our everyday normal life. But it's going to take some faith. It's going to take some risk on our part. It's going to take believing that Jesus can heal the sick, raise the dead even. And I'll tell you, seeing the miraculous on a weekly basis, that creates a lot of joy and praise in me and a lot of expectation and anticipation that he's going to do even more. And I'm not afraid to instigate those kinds of encounters normally, sometimes. But I'm getting more and more bold and brave. And I hope you'll join me in that. Wouldn't it be great to hear people rumoring like they did in Jerusalem? Did you hear what's been happening around this area with this Jesus guy? And that kind of experience with Jesus, watching him change people's lives, sparks praise within us. Listen to the song that erupts from the disciples in our passage, Luke 19:38. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. This is a quotation from the Psalms, Psalm 119, partly from 148. Remember, the Psalms are sung. They're meant to be lyrical. They're meant to be songs of triumph as well as petition. And they're meant to be sung out loud. And by singing this psalm, the followers of Jesus are declaring that he is the sent king. His followers are doing this because they know by personal experience that Jesus has the authority and the power of God Almighty upon him, the anointing of God. Messiah has come into the world. His name is Jesus, and he is king over Israel and king over the world, king over bodies. He's king over the dead. He is king, literally, of all things. And we've seen it with our own eyes. So as you and I prepare for Easter, let's let his praise erupt from within us so that all who see us see him in us. And see the excitement and the anticipation that God is going to do the miraculous around us. And even if you aren't regularly seeing those kinds of miracles in your own world around you, certainly you can remember the day that you were filled with joy and praise over the fact that Jesus healed your heart and he saved your soul. Right? Can't you? That's because one of the greatest miracles that ever could happen happened in you. You became redeemed. You became new, a new creation in Christ. Because once you were lost, but now you are found in Jesus. Once you were blind, but now you can see because of Jesus. Hallelujah and Hosanna, our God saves. And he saved you and he saved me. Number three, prepare for Easter by checking your inner Pharisee at the door. Prepare for Easter by checking your inner Pharisee at the door. That blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest, from verse 38. Boy, that really got the Pharisees going when they heard that. Similar to the Sadducees, the Pharisees were a group of scholars and leaders within Judaism who emphasized legalistically living by the law of Moses. They believed that approval with God and personal righteousness was attained by keeping the law of Moses. And Jesus was always clashing with these Pharisees because what they were doing is they were frustrating and getting in the way of people pursuing God. And nothing makes Jesus more angry than that. And when they saw this parade, they heard the disciples giving praise to Jesus, praise that should only be given to God. And well, that they didn't like. And so they confronted Jesus about it. It says in verse 39, some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." And what does he say to them? He says, "I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." Now, don't misunderstand what Jesus is saying here when he says that. The Pharisees knew exactly who the disciples were proclaiming Jesus to be. The Gospel of Matthew accounts, adds more of to the mix of this to fuel their messianic expectation of who Messiah should be. And in their minds, it wasn't David. But listen to Matthew 21, verse 9 to 11. "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" And the crowds answered, "This is Jesus." They knew his name, but they didn't know everything about him. Some said he's the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. But the disciples were announcing on Passover that Jesus was the Son of David. The crowds join in on that anthem, even though they maybe didn't know exactly what they were saying. And that's about as direct as you can get. Primarily that title, Son of David, that is a reference, a statement of his physical genealogy, that he was actually from the line of David, King David. So he was a king in the order of King David. And he was. Just read the genealogy at the beginning of Matthew. But it's also a messianic title that the Jews, especially the Pharisees, especially the Sadducees, would have been understanding. And when people claim this of Jesus, they mean that he is the long-awaited deliverer of Israel, the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. And as the crowds are pressing in and they're praising God loudly, the Pharisees come up to Jesus in verse 39 and said, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." In other words, they're saying, "Be a good rabbi and shut this whole thing down. Reject this claim of messiahship and rebuke your disciples so that they won't do this again." But check out Jesus' answer in verse 40. "I tell you, if they keep quiet, even the stones will cry out." But again, don't misunderstand what Jesus is saying here. He's not meaning that the stones will actually grow lips and start singing. Not that God couldn't do that if he wanted to, but that's not what he means here. He's saying that the stones of the walls of the city and the walls of the temple that they're made of, they're going to come crashing down if you reject me. Jesus is literally, he's actually prophesying God's judgment on them all and on Jerusalem for not acknowledging him as the Christ, not acknowledging what their own scriptures said about him. Listen to Luke 19, 41. "As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, 'If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you.'" And unfortunately, this is exactly what happened in 70 AD, just 40 years from then. When the Roman Emperor Titus, he marches his army around Jerusalem. They literally build embankments around the city so that no one could escape. And then they besiege the holy city of David for 143 days. And they actually turn its walls and its temple into a pile of burnt out rocks. Jesus knew that though the crowd might be cheering him now, they would later be cheering with the Pharisees, "Crucify him!" How are you doing as you prepare to welcome the King into your Easter celebration 2021? I would hope that none of us are like the Pharisees who get a little bit bent out of shape when someone gets a little too enthusiastic about our praise of Jesus. This week prior to Easter is a good time, I think, to kind of check the inner Pharisee that creeps in on us from time to time. I get that life is often tough, and sometimes the challenges we face, though, through the rest of the year, and then maybe it's especially been compounded because of COVID this year, sometimes all these different things can make us a bit cynical. a bit critical, a bit legalistic, and a bit faithless. Especially when we've had a lot of time to fill our heads with all the social media controversy that's constantly swirling about us, and when our religious activity for the last year has been primarily over the internet, but praise God we have at least that at times. When church over live stream is all you have, we all knew and felt that it was not the same as being face to face in person with God's people giving praise to God. And some people, because of compromised immune systems, still can't be here on a Sunday. We need to pray for them and pray for this thing to be done. But friends, if your only spiritual religious experience has been virtual, if the only thing you're learning about God and about doctrine and about Scripture is from the internet and not from the Lord and not from His Word, then you've missed out on the joy of the miraculous in your own faith. You've missed out on the joy of the miraculous out in the streets of everyday normal life. And that's what these Pharisees were. They're constantly lurking in the background, watching Jesus, conspiring against Jesus, because they didn't like where he was taking people. So, of course, we're all going to be a bit cynical and a bit critical and a bit lacking of joy when things are shut down like this all the time, and we feel the oppression over a year's time. But friends, Jesus is longing for his people. We get it when the world doesn't get it, but when God's people welcome him with obedience and with joy and praise and finally with faith, that's when Palm Sunday and Easter will truly be the celebration it is meant to be. So let's prepare for that with these things. And Palm Sunday, triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, is the parade that starts us out on the road of this most important part of our relationship with Jesus. And so can I encourage you to prepare for Easter by checking the inner Pharisee that likes to creep in every once in a while with cynicism and faithlessness, and check it at the door, because you don't want anything blocking the praise of Jesus in your Easter celebration. And maybe you're here today or you're online and you have never started a relationship with Jesus. You've never been a part of our parade for Jesus. Today would be a great day to join the parade. Today would be a great new beginning for you, whether you're here or online. We want to invite you into the parade of Jesus. The parade of the crowd that day was, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." So folks, in order for us to start this new relationship with Jesus today and experience Easter brand new, like never before, it means having to acknowledge that Jesus is our Savior. It means acknowledging and claiming him as our Savior, not just the Savior of the world, but our own personal Savior. You need to confess that without him you are lost eternally, and that you have sinned, and that sin blocks you from a relationship with Jesus. You need to accept and ask for his forgiveness, and you need to promise that you will follow him every day of your life, not just on Sundays, and you will learn to obey. God doesn't expect you to be this amazingly obedient follower immediately, though. Understand that. That would be the Pharisee in us wanting to tell you that, but that's not how it works. Like all of us have discovered, there is something that we have to grow into at times. Sometimes obediences happen easy, just like that. When God says go or let go, just immediately, yes, Lord. The Lord needs it, absolutely. But there are sometimes when certain things that we have going on in our world, in our life, in our hearts, when God says, go here or let go of this, and we resist him, we say, no, God, here's as far as I'll go and let go, but no further. Understand that it's part of the journey, and he will lead you along as long as you are submissive to him, and as long as you keep praising his name and enjoying him as Savior. So I'm going to ask all of us to pray at this time, and maybe it's a year where just the year has totally got you down, and you're just ready to enter into the celebration, the parade with Jesus, and enter into Easter victorious. And maybe you want to start a new relationship with Jesus today. Let's pray along those lines. I'm actually not going to pray. I'm just going to tell you maybe how you could pray. If you want to be a part of the parade, just acknowledge that Jesus is the Savior of the world and your Savior. Acknowledge that you are lost in your sins and that you need a Savior to forgive you. Ask Him to forgive you. That's called repentance. And now make the promise to follow Him every day. Admit that you don't know exactly what that might mean for you. But understand that Jesus is not an oppressive Lord. He is a Lord that takes you graciously on a journey. He begins you in this parade, and then He calls you to walk in resurrection power, as we'll discover in a few days and a week. Father, we thank You for this time in Your Word. We thank You for Your voice, which speaks to us, that challenges us to go and let go. And Lord, I believe that some of my brothers and sisters today are hearing that as a real challenge for them about something that's going on in their world. They love You. They claim You as Savior and Lord. But they're having a hard time taking that next step. Help them to know that You love them. Embrace them. Help them to know that You're with them. And promise to always be with them. Thank You, Lord, for this parade that we're on. And we pray, Lord, today as we continue our praise of You, that You will receive it, Lord, as our way of preparing our hearts and our souls for the Easter that You deserve. And God's people said, amen.